We're in lesson 57 in the book of Ephesians. As we know, our little motto is studying the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And God has a way that we study the Bible. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished into all good works. Also, in study, 2 Timothy 2:15, God has a way and a design that you study the Word of God, and that's study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And how you get profit out of the Word of God, you know, that's what we teach. And I believe each one of us has the mentality to understand that God has put some words in the Bible, and not all of it's to us, is it? But all of it's for us, and how you have rightly divided the Word of truth. As we look in the Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 20, it says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Now, stuck between verses 21 and 23 is what? What verse? 22. But also, verse 23, this is where I want to go, and what?
Be renewed.
Be renewed. So the object that was being taught in verse 21, if so that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, it's by renewing your mind in verse 23. Now, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, a lot of religions out there, without beating one particular religion up, denomination-wise, they use the word renew and all the time. Renew this, renew that. I'm big on this because once you understand the Word of God rightly divided, and you understand Pauline terms mean something for today, there's some people out there will take terms replying to the grace message and the doctrine of grace and try to apply it into their doctrine. See, they teach grace. They believe in the cross, but when you get into their doctrinal message and stuff, and it don't teach what we teach. I encourage everybody, when you go to churches and you visit churches and you want to know about churches, get their doctrinal statement. Get their doctrinal. You look at it and say, this don't line up with what God is saying today, that type of thing. I encourage you all to do that. The word, the way you get renewed by some of these denominations is by fasting, prayer, repentance, and giving money, and a bunch of things like that. That's how they say you renew your spirit. You know, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that's listed here about how to renew you. But when did you get renewed? This is a big question. When did you get renewed? The word renewed in the Bible is not the word used for salvation. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people say, what's that?
You can be renewed daily.
You can be renewed daily. It's not the word. It is the word used for a transformation that takes place in the life of a believer. Now, the word renewed means to make new again. That's what it means, make renewed. Hold your finger there and go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed." He is saying, don't be conformed to the world system out there of which your old man is a part of. But be what? Transformed. You got to be transformed. Well, how are you going to be transformed?
Reading the Bible.
You say reading the Bible. You say renewing your mind. What does verse 2 say? By renewing
your mind.
Of your mind. Okay? That transformation comes through the mind, through the renewing and the re-educating of the mind, and it comes from a thinking process. Now, we have young adults in here, and we have young children in here. You're going to spend the rest of your life renewing your mind. You're being taught what 1 + 1 + 1 = what? 3. You've been taught that, and you're going to believe that all your life because that's the way we've been taught. But when it comes to doctrinal issues and teachings, you have to renew your mind with certain things. Many of you have businesses and all. We have to stay renewed in our mind with what we're dealing with daily. As a special commodities relocation engineer, I'm constantly reminded of the highway out there. The Federal Highway Commission makes rules, don't they, Dan? You know, and when you get pulled over and they said you're in violation of 39.7.3, well, what is that? You mean you don't know that? You know, you didn't take your break? That type of thing? Yeah, immediately you start remember some things on the basic things. But laws change constantly. But you have to take it through a thinking process. It comes through the intake of sound doctrine into the soul that fortifies your conscience and allows you your conscience to think in a new way. You know, we talk about all the time, before you got saved, your spirit was dead, guys. Your thinking process to God Almighty was dead, but your soul had a God conscience. And I believe this wholeheartedly, your conscience, until you get it seared, until you keep rebellion against God and puts that seared hot iron to it where nothing can penetrate it, you chose to do that. But that conscience is pointing to God, the Creator, the creation. You guys talk to a lot of people, and I do too, in a way that what do they know about Jesus Christ? They may not know much about Jesus Christ. But you find out what they know about God the Creator, God of the Bible. You know how many gods are out there?
Millions.
A lot of them. I'd love to point out the fact that those 10 plagues in Egypt, you know what I'm talking about? All those 10 plagues, you know they was 10 gods of Egypt? They worshiped that stuff, and God put every one of them down. That's the God of creation. That's God of the Bible. And he can put every God out there down. But the fact is that human viewpoint makes you a God. You know, you may deny God of the Bible, and you may deny God of this world, Satan. And that leaves one God left, don't it? Look at me. Pride. But think about this for a minute. It comes by in conscience and evaluates things in a new way and perceives things a different way. When you get sound doctrine that comes off from Apostle Paul for us today and it gets down in your soul, it's going to make you think differently. It's going to make you act differently. Not like the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many has been taught that doctrine in their life? How many?
Like the Beatitudes are the attitudes that ought to be.
Yeah, and you know that's the constitution of the kingdom. See, they're really going to be put in place then. But the thing is, did you fail miserably? Did you feel like unworthy? I did. So when people tells you you can trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, and then turns around and says you got to read the book of John and live the book of John or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I scratch my head at that because I'm telling you guys, they couldn't live it. So what makes you think you're going to do something that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John era could not do? That's why Paul's message is totally different, and the renewing of your thinking process is based on doctrine. And what is doctrine again?
Teaching.
It's teachings. Moses had doctrine. Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth and they asked him about divorce and stuff like that, what did he say? What did Moses tell you? By the hardening of your heart, he granted it. You know what I'm talking about? So he pointed at Moses' teachings. It's funny how people today in the dispensation of grace will follow Moses' teachings and they probably don't even realize it. You know, and they won't follow Paul. But think about this for a little bit. Now remember, if you will, we studied the book of Romans in depth. And Romans 12, we saw that there are four operative principles of grace that Paul sets forth in the sonship walk of the believer. Those four operative principles of grace is repeated in Ephesians chapter 4. And they'll be referred to, not technically referred to, but you're going to see them work again. So remember those things, and I'm going to go through them really quick right now. But the first one was a freedom principle. And we're not going to break them down on what are they, because we've done study that before. The freedom principle. Then there's a replacement principle. Then one another principle. That's a mutual consideration for one to another. I'm going to show you grace. And then there's a grace motivation principle. Listen, Ephesians chapter 4, the book of Ephesians, assume you already understand Romans. Okay? But many of us goes back and say we're unworthy and we don't feel like we're saved, that type of thing. Well, go read Romans chapter 1 through 5 again, because that's where you're justified. And Paul settles it. God through Christ, through Paul, settled it about being justified through faith plus nothing else. That settled it for God. So why don't it settle for us? You know what I mean? So I know for a fact that I am justified in God. Now, some days I wake up, I don't feel like it. But it's not a feeling, is it? This is assurance. And that you have been taught the foundation information in Romans by Christ, and there's no way you can get around that. Be turning to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is that big S or little S? Okay, what does that tell you? We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. What does that tell you? It's the Holy Spirit, right? And it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as a glass of the glory of the Lord, are changed. We are transformed, if you will, into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of our Lord. You see, the Holy Spirit, now, there's some religion takes that and runs with it, right? They'll be dancing on these pews here at the wall because you mentioned the Holy Spirit and all that stuff. You know that's show business, don't you? I'm not being ugly with nobody. It's spiritual show business, and it looks good. Look what I'm doing. That's all it is. But look, the Holy Spirit now only established the believers in Christ, and he's not only makes it the positional truth, it becomes a reality. You have positional truth in Christ Jesus right now that you don't even know about yet, but you're already there. And this Holy Spirit does that. He is not only the one who executes the mechanics of that positional truth by putting you into Christ, but the Holy Spirit also is the one that enables each believer to execute that position in his life every day. I think about that a lot. What's dwelling inside of you right now? God the Holy Spirit. We know where God the Father is, we know where God the Son is, but where's God the Holy Spirit? He's inside of us today. Man. Should that make us walk differently and talk differently and eat more muffins? Yeah, I'm all for that. But look, the thing is, as you take in the Word, it says, as a glass behold the glory of the Lord, you look into the Word of God and you see all God has done for you and I. You don't have to look out there, creation, no more. You have His Word. You don't have to look inside church buildings. Brick and mortar buildings. He has done it through His Word. And as you look into that, the Holy Spirit, His Spirit creates the mind and the attitude and the heart and the thoughts of Christ within you as you take in that doctrine. If you're taking in Moses' doctrine, as I shared before, how is your Holy Spirit really going to act? I believe it just sits there waiting. Okay, yeah, it's doctrine. Yeah, okay. Yes, it's God's Word. Yes. Then you move over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and your spirit's like, okay, I need to do this, because Jesus told me to go out here and I'll take no thought for anything. He's going to feed me as he fed the sparrows and stuff like that. How'll that work out? Many of you have sold, I know people that had sold everything they had and gave it to the church. Now they're broke. Now they realize the Lord hasn't come back yet. Now they have to go buy another house. Now they have to go get another job. I don't think God works that way, guys. It's, especially in your Holy Spirit, you made that decision yourself, following the wrong doctrine. But it creates a... He changes you, and he transforms you by what? The renewing of your mind, guys, by giving you a new way of thinking. You think like the Spirit of God thinks. We're supposed to. And you take those old files, file 13. What do you do with file 13, guys? You take those old files that you've been taught and you put in the new program. You know, it takes a little while to get rid of that old stuff, don't it, Barton? You know, your old way of thinking that, hey, God's doing this and God's doing that. And I've been taught because Grandma did that. You know, guys know what I'm talking about. You know, and you're sitting there thinking, yeah, but this stuff is true. This is what God's doing today. But Grandma, Granny, Grandpa built this church. And out of tradition, you get called into that. And you'll put that doctrine aside. But you erase the old programs and you put in a new program, so to speak. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The book of Corinthians is a book of reproof. And they had a bad behavior problem. That's what the Corinthians did. And God through Paul was reproofing the Corinthians because they wasn't acting like members of the body of Christ. You know, there's a lot of issues in the book of Corinthians. You ever thought about that? There's a lot of issues in the local church. You know? So we worked through some things. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that loved him. Why hasn't it entered into the heart of man at this time? Okay? And then he says, but God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, now that's a big S. I can't keep emphasizing on this. There's little G's in the Bibles and there's big G's in the Bible. You know who that little G is? Okay? Or it could be us too. You know, when if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me if I'm wrong, when Adam and Eve was in the garden and Satan was there, he said, you'll be like us, as gods. That means there was more than one God around there, outside that garden. And I just picture that garden, it says it's east of Eden over here. That means Eden, the country, had other gods in there. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but it says God. So he's trying to change their mind, thinking, hey, you're going to be God. And that's where human viewpoint, I mentioned before, human viewpoint comes in there. But it says, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man. See that little S? You have a spirit, and which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. He knows you, don't he? He knows you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, which things also we speak, not in words with man wisdom teach us. Boy, can man wisdom teach you some things. Can it not? Mm-hmm. Yes, it can. And it says, teach us, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing, excuse me, I lost where I'm at. 15. We're at 15?
13.
13. Which things also we speak, not in words with man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's what you got to do. You got to compare spiritual. Is the Bible spiritual? That's why we say when we rightly divide a word of truth, it's not truth against error. We know how to do that. It's truth against truth. There's truth from cover to cover. It's all truth. But you have to discern what's truth. And as you do it dispensationally thinking, it makes sense. You don't have to force that puzzle. How many of in times past had picked up a puzzle piece and you say, I know it fits right there. And it don't fit. And you thought about taking your little pocket knife out. And you're going to make, or you forced that in there to where the edges are up over. And you're like, and then later on you find the piece. You never done that. I have. You know? And it's just like, I'm finished. Like, no, I'm not finished. That's just the beginning. You know, I got to find that piece. Isn't it wonderful to know that understanding the Word of God dispensationally and understanding the mystery program that's for us today makes the whole Bible come alive?
Amen.
You know, I posed a question on Facebook the other day. What program came first in God's mind? Was it the prophetic program or was it the mystery program? You know? You think about that. He says this mystery program was hidden God before the foundations of the world. So he had this program in his Father, Son, Holy Spirit before he had this prophecy program. So we always say this mystery program interrupted the prophecy program and will be fulfilled later on. But I'm thinking, wait a minute. The prophecy program interrupted the mystery program because he had it hidden God. But it was hidden God, guys. And there's some people out there will teach you, oh, it was hid in the Word of God. Abraham knew it. Abraham taught it, but he didn't know it. And I'm like, it was hid in God before the foundation of the world. And he says, but the natural man, verse 14, received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, but they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judging no man. Then he says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of what? That natural man does not have the mind of the Lord on. Why? He's flesh. He said, unsaved. See? But now, if you want to renew our mind, if you want to renew our mind for the church, if you want to renew the mind for your life, if you want to renew the mind of your ministry, and many of us have ministry. You have your own ministry. You know, I listen to some of you, what you go out and do. You got a house, you got a home to take care of. That's your ministry. You know, if you're out here witnessing to, that's your ministry. You have a ministry here. But how you can do it, you can find it. In other words, how do you do it? Can you find it? Maybe I should back up a little bit. Yes, you can find it.
In His Word.
Let's say you have a church, but it's dead, and it needs renewed. You need renewal in your life, and you have a group of people that need renewed or rejuvenated. You ever feel that? Sometimes you just come in here like a knot on a log. Here we go again. Ed's going to teach Ephesians. You know, don't he ever teach anything else. You know, Paul, King James Bible, tracts, woe is me. You know what I mean? You just feel dead. You need renewed in your life, and you have a group of people that needs rejuvenated, and you find it when you have imparted the truth of God to the people of God. See, that's my position up here, and anybody can do it. You take the words of God, and you send them out there, and you receive it, and it gets down in your soul with His doctrine. And that's what makes you alive when you renew your mind with the Word of God. Now, you don't need me, but you could do it yourself. But isn't it good and fun and rejoiceful to come corporately and see Walt sitting on the front row today, Walt Barg, you know? You know what I'm talking about? Isn't it fun? Yeah, I'm excited. But look, you when you impart the truth to people, and that truth is in their soul, not just in their head, not head knowledge. We talk about head knowledge all the time, don't we? And it, then it won't make a difference what kind of methods that you use, because you have the whole lot of renewed people carrying on the work of the Lord, and no matter what the circumstances is, they will be internally motivated. With me? You come in here dead, I take a cattle prong to you. What's it going to do? It's going to jolt you and get you moving a little bit. I don't want to do that. I want you to be motivated. Excuse me, I don't want to say I. We want you to be motivated the right way, not under a law system. A lot of people have ideas that the Christian life is just legalism. How many's been in that part of legalism? And it's rights and rules and regulations and programs and methods and manners. All that continue. It's been said that the emphasis is on the methods, the emphasis is off the message. When the emphasis is on what are you doing, then it gets off the message. And I would encourage you, support the message. Okay? We really love this building, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, it's a wonderful place. But if we had to go somewhere else to meet under a rock or a tree, an oak tree or something like that, would you support the message, or would you just like, I want that building back? You go for the message, guys. It shouldn't matter where we meet. But the thing is, and that is the truth, because sometimes people think that the Christian life is all that these different ways of doing things. And if you will perfect the saints, they will develop programs and they will have the internal motivation. Many of you sitting here right now has got ideas, and we've talked about some things, how we can expand, or we can, you know, have two services instead of one. You know, like Brother Howard coming here says, is this a traditional service, or what'd you say?
Contemporary
service. You know, that type of thing. The truth is truth. Some people misunderstand grace and they say, it isn't legalism. Right? You know what legalism is, but somebody say it isn't, therefore it's the opposite. No rules, no regulations, no restrictions, no responsibilities, no obligations, and you get both extremes. You know, sometimes I believe I made a mistake in teaching grace in my early years about certain things. Giving, for one, if I don't mind saying that, or being content for who we are, that type of thing. I know Walt mentioned one day, he said, Ed, I know you love to have 60, 70 people in church, but I kind of like this little group here, you know? And I said, praise God, hallelujah. You know, if that ever happens, we work towards that, you know? But the thing is, you can be complacent, can't you? You can say, no, that's my seat. but you know, God's grace does not mean that He isn't interested in your life, guys. Okay? God's grace doesn't mean that He's not interested in the way you live. Isn't He interested?
Amen.
Aren't you interested in how you live?
Should be.
I am. And it bothers me sometimes the way I live. You know, not being who I'm supposed to be. You know what I'm talking about? Taking it to that next level, if you will. You know, before I take that dirt bath, I want to continue to know everything about, there is to know about the mystery, about Romans through Philemon. That's my mail. All this other stuff is great news, and you can learn from it. But I want to know everything that God is going to do for me right now, or has done for me right now, and allows me to live who I am, so I can be able to teach my children, grandchildren, we have taught our children, you know, the message of grace. Now, be turning to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In fact, the very opposite is truth. God's grace is His provision for you to live freely and successfully for who? Yourself?
No.
For Him. You know, Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under law, but under what?
Grace.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 says, but if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under law. If you walk in the Spirit, he won't put you under law, but he puts you under what? Grace. So what will grace do?
Free from the law.
Okay. Look at verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Serve each other by the principle of agape love, if you will, and understanding God's value and esteem for you and for other people's understanding what God is doing. And it is the mental attitude of love, that renewed mind. You hear about agape love all the time, don't you? You probably, some of you is like, oh man, please don't go there. You know, people sign their name agape. You know, do they really know? It's the mental attitude, guys. You should have that on all the time. And do with the mental attitude of love and renewed mind that thinks like God's mind thinks. And you see that he has that provision, and that is all that is free to do for you through the cross work of Christ. That's the provision that allows you to live freely and successfully for him. You know what I'm talking about? It ain't me and I. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Come and get you, Dan. You're in a safe haven, man. We know there's a little Grace Church under the law.
Yeah.
You know? That's supposed to be funny. I laugh, but anyway, when you laugh at your own jokes, you must be getting old.
Well, a good joke.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, look, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto how many men?
All.
Okay. You know, we talk about times past, but now in ages to come. Here's times past. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Okay? Teaching us. Here's but now. Here's what God is doing right now. Teaching us. It indoctrinates us. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. That's negative. We should, this is positive, live soberly, righteousness, and godly in this present world. Then if you look at the next verse, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's ages to come. That's my hope. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm already there, positionally. But that's what I'm looking for. And I don't mean to scare people, but I'm ready to go. I'm that sure in my life where I'm going to spend eternity. And it's not on the basis of what I've done. Amen? It's on the basis of what took place at Calvary. One thing's for sure, grace is going to be put you on the spot, and it's going to expose your heart, and if it doesn't do anything else, that's what it's going to do. In your private little thing, you know, it might not do it out here in public, but in your private life, sometimes it affects you, don't it? It's like, oh man. That's what grace did for me. Then I need to show grace more. Or I need to work that motivation type of thing. And exposes your heart like nothing ever could. Not even the law. The law exposed your flesh, didn't it? How many likes to get caught in something? I don't like to get caught. You know, speeding or whatever. You know, I'm going to use this. I use a lot of training things about... This week we're not allowed to wear headsets, you know. And there's hands-free. You know what hands-free is? That's, to me, it's still not a headset. But when you put up an earpiece in, you got to hit this, or you know, talk of it. So just the other day, one of the trainees come in, he had this big, massive headset on, and he didn't have his safety vest on. And it's 5 o'clock in the morning, dark. So I said, "Driver, where's your vest at?" He goes, "I said, what's that on your head?" I hate to be the police. You know what I mean? He goes, "I thought we could do it." I said, "No." I said, "Don't let them catch you. They'll fire you. You cannot wear an earpiece." And so he you know, put it away, that type of thing. And so we're coming down the road. Sherry was in Virginia. Phone rings about 9 o'clock in the morning. I knew what she was going to say. I'm on the road. And the phone's ringing. I'm driving. The phone's ringing. He says, "You can go ahead and answer it." I said, "No, okay." He said, "Oh, you can just hit speaker. It's like hands-free." I said, "No, I'm not going to do that. Not while you were in my truck. You know what I mean? Training. You with me? You're not going to be able, in the back of your mind, saying, 'Ed done that.'" Oh, I know people. They will drag you, you know, like when they get caught, like, "Well, Ed did it." Yeah. And you're going to say to your boss, say, "Yeah, I did it." And I do. You know, they won't call you. Or if they call you, a lot of times I pull over. Because I'm not, you know, that's me. But in my heart's what I want to do. Excuse me. Grace in my heart said, do all things what I'm supposed to be doing. You know what I mean? I don't want to get caught, guys. And nowadays, what they do to you if you catch with the phone, get your ear, Dan, when you're driving down the highway.
What, the law?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you get a heavy ticket.
Heavy ticket. I went through
thousands.
Well, I went through a phone booth. You know those toll booths? Phone booth. You know those toll booths down in West Virginia? And I was talking in my personal car, mind you.
It's against the law.
And I had it against my ear, going through the toll booth, handed him $2. He says, "Say cheese." I didn't think nothing of it until I pulled off. I'm like, what did he just say? So that bothered me all the way down. We went down to visit the family and came back up to where I pulled. In that next one, I said, "You know, one of your coworkers mentioned that." She said, "We take pictures. And they could use that if they wanted to." You know, I'm like, oh man, well, how would that look? You know, you got a bad thing about a CDL is it affects you in your personal vehicle, don't Dan? Mm-hmm. Dan reminded me of that when I did, 15, 16 mile over in my personal vehicle. He said, "Oh, Ed, that's a major." I'm like, it's my personal vehicle. And then it got me thinking, 15 mile an hour over in my personal vehicle with the license that I got goes against my company. Then why am I paying insurance? I fought this stuff for years.
That old flesh is trying.
Yeah, I mean, justify. See, But one, enough about me.
Well,
Grace,
I got one more question.
Yes.
What's the vest? Do you have to wear a vest?
Safety, reflection vest.
Okay.
Yeah, it's orange.
Anytime you drive, you got to have a reflection vest on.
Yeah, and when you get out of the vehicle, on
okay.
You know, yeah,
that's we got company.
Yeah, that's county rule. That's not so much federal rule.
Okay.
But if you see a guy on the side of the road with a vest on, you better move over. That's the law, right?
Yep.
But anyway, look, one thing for sure, grace is going to put us on the spot, and it's going to expose our heart. That's what it was doing to me. I know what the law says, and I know what grace says. And grace says, okay, I blessed you, and I have given you the gift, and I have given you all the blessing as a free gift. Now serve me because you love me, and because you are grateful, and because you want to. You know?
That's the liberty.
Yeah, that's the liberty. That old man, I'm going to share some more things with you right quick. We didn't get set up till late, so if you have to go, you can go. But look, you can catch this for $3.99, you can get it on tape. And I'm just joking, guys. Look, it says, bless you. Do you know what sin is? Excuse me. Do you know why you sin?
Your flesh.
Flesh. Do you know why you get angry? Do you know why there are unworthy things in your life? That old man, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what John 8 says? What the Lord Jesus Christ talked about? That sin nature, we need to quit acting like that old man and acting like our daddy. You know what he talked about, Israel? Your father is the
devil.
And the lust of your father ye will do. That's scary, isn't it? So when my kids do things, I know why they do it. They're kidding me? I hate to say it. But what do we do? What do we teach them? We teach them about grace. You know, what to do the next time. What not to do the next time. You don't want to continue in that, do you? God forbid. So grace puts you on the spot, doesn't it? It should. It should not just be nonchalantly, oh well, I got liberty. You know I'm saved. But look, and Jesus, the words of God teaches you that you are not in the flesh, but you're in what? The Spirit. You never learn to walk in the flesh from Jesus Christ, ever. Now, did he walk in the flesh? He did. He was. Don't it say he's tempted in all things? I'm thinking, wow, what a man. Only God can do that. Be tempted. How many of you have been tempted in some things? And you're like, oh, I'm not doing that. Then you get tempted on something else, like, okay. Yeah, that's flesh. Do you want to see his anger? You want to see his attitudes about that? You know what you do? Talk to me for a second. Where do you see God's anger towards what we're talking about, the flesh, that you won't see it? Where do you see God's attitude towards that?
Old Testament.
You say Old Testament, there's something better than that.
At the cross,
right here. That's his attitude towards anger. That's his attitude towards lust. That's what his attitude towards flesh is. It's there at the cross, and he had done away with it. Now, you're talking about an Easter message. Yeah. It puts you in a total victory program. And that's what you learn from Christ. Go back to Ephesians. You don't walk like an unsaved guy. Somebody was doing it in Ephesians. Hey, you know what? We do it today. We walk like an unsaved guy. And you have, he says, if you have learned anything from Christ, you better know that grace motivates you to walk like you are in him. But this flesh, you don't understand, Ed. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been through. I know flesh. And I've been in the flesh. And I know humans. And I don't give... I can trust you, but I'm not going to put faith in you. I've said that many times, and you probably do the same thing. You know, you put your faith in who?
Christ
Jesus. Now, there's some particular instructions. Just bear with me for a few minutes. There's some particular instructions beginning at verse 25 in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Down through 32. And folks say, well, what is the will of God? And what does God want me to do? You ever heard that? How many still questions that? Sometimes like, man, you know, what is the will of God? I mean, I'm being this. What does he want from me? If you take the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and Romans 12, and write down all the things he tells you to do in those passages, and if you study them and figure out what they mean and how they fit in your life, you won't have time to wonder what God wants you to do. What do they say, the idle mind is the devil's workshop? Do you believe that to be true sometimes? So, but if you're pondering and studying out those books, you know, we talk about what great, wonderful work God wants us to do. We send people to Africa, don't we? We send people to Europe and Asia and all that stuff. But the Lord is not interested in where we are as quick as he is in what we are. And we should be who he has made us in Christ. And where we are will not matter that much, because wherever we are, we will be what he has made us to be. Now, the Bible says you're ambassadors. What does that mean?
representing your country on foreign soil.
So is this your home?
No.
You know? So where's your conversation supposed to be? Sometimes ours is in Cleveland Brown Stadium.
Yours, not ours.
Well, progressive field. Now let me ask you something. Is there anything wrong with that? Is it joy? But that should not be your focus and stuff.
Right.
The idea, look at this. Notice the particulars. Romans, Ephesians 4 through 20, verse 25. Wherefore, putting off lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one to another. Be ye angry and sin not, for the sun should go down upon your...
Let not
the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. The idea here, and I'm going to close with this right here. The idea here is not allowing anything in your life that will give the opportunity of Satan's program and policy to have a foothold in your life. And don't give any place in your life for Satan's programs to have control or say or any activity. So putting away lying, stop lying. And speak every man the truth with his neighbor. That is to put off and put on that principle in practice. And that is a replacement principle. And if you go down through the passage, you're going to see, and we're going back up and work through this pretty heavily, not today, but you go down through the passage and you see the principles whereby grace operates. Those grace principles for operation in your walk, and you put in practice here. You learn them in Romans, guy. And now he is going to put them in practice going down through here in a regard to walk. And again, this is the assembly walking together. Can you learn something from that? I can. You know, we go out here and you say, what church you go to? And you tell them, you're like, aren't you walking, be a part of that assembly? Aren't you a ambassador for that local church? And he says, put away lying. Don't lie. How do you do not lie? You stop telling the things that aren't true and you start speaking the truth. You don't stop being a liar until you start telling what? The truth. Brown's going 18-0 this year. Oh, boy, is that a big lie. You know?
Maybe.
You know what I mean? You know? But anyway, Father, once again, we thank you for today. We thank you and things in our life. Lord, as we think about who we are and what motivates us, and that you came and died and was buried and rose again on that cross, and you took our sin debt. That's what it means. The grace that you bestowed on each and every one of us. And it doesn't matter how old or how young we are. We can live the way you lived for us and have given us the words to live by. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.